Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning, everybody. We have another show here, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
By the way, you set a record this morning. You got here so early, everybody was in shock. A couple of people passed out.
Even the dog was just like, who is that at my door?
He didn't even bark. Didn't know who you were.
Yep.
He was still asleep.
He was still asleep.
Here pretty early. Yeah. You know, well, I like to...
You had a surprise party last night in Baltimore, right? We've got Bruce Bochy on the phone, I think. Bruce, is that you? Hey, Bruce? You there, buddy?
Nope, he just dropped. I'm sure he'll call back in. But we are going to open up here with Bruce Bochy. He's the manager of the San Francisco Giants, in case you live under a rock. They're in Washington right now, taking on the Washington Nationals in a little three-game series. This game here today will be for the mini series.
Boch, how you doing, buddy? How you doing? You good?
He dropped again. So we'll work that out, and we'll get him on. So San Francisco, they took game one of the Washington series. Jordan Zimmermann pitched yesterday for the Nationals and had a pretty good outing, and they ended up getting the split. So it's 1-1 right now, heading into a Sunday day game, 1 o'clock game, which, Bruce, I believe you're going to the game, right?
Yeah, I'll be there. Matter of fact, I might even sneak out of here a little early. We got Bruce Bochy on the phone. Bruce, is that you now? We kept losing you.
I'm here.
All right.
Hey, it's great. Yeah. Hey, thanks for coming on. Well, you made it here after the Giants had the week from hell in Chicago. You won the first protest. You know, it's so rare, it's hard to say the word protest, isn't it?
Well, it doesn't happen very often, particularly in that situation. Usually don't really even think about protesting a rain out, but you know, it was unique in the fact that there were some struggles. Part of it was mechanical, the tarp, and they couldn't get it on in time. And of course, with our situation, I don't want to say just ours, but anybody who's contending, to play 4.5 innings and have it called, and if the weather had cleared up, it rained for 15 minutes. So, baseball got it right on this one, Bruce. They did the right thing. The Cubs wanted to do the right thing. They wanted that game suspended. So I was just glad that all the parties listened. Our commissioner, Selig, and our commissioner-elect, Manfred, and, of course, Joe Torre and Theo Epstein, all the Cubs, they really helped us out, too.
Listen, you got in so late the other morning. I want to say it was around 6 or 6:30 a.m. because it was storming in Chicago. The guys were on the plane, on the tarmac, for an extra couple of hours. And then you go out that night with virtually hardly any sleep, and you look like world beaters, which is kind of neat. I guess they were loose, maybe, and, you know, they were a little bit tired. And then last night, Timmy goes out, has a little problem with his command. He's had some mechanical problems from time to time. Even with that, except for a bad throw, you were like in a 3-2 game, and you lose a close one to the Nationals. The Nationals are good, aren't they?
They are good. They're a balanced club, very good starting pitching, really good bullpen, and, of course, their lineup. It's balanced, with the left, right, on both sides. They have speed, they have power. They're a team that plays the game right, too. They're a group that's come together and, playing the type of ball I think everybody thought they would play. And now they're a team to reckon with throughout baseball. I think when you look at this club, you don't have a hole, so to speak, or weakness. They just have really everything covered. They have experience on the bench, too. So you got to play your best ball to beat these guys, because you got to figure you're not going to score a lot of runs against their pitching, and you got to catch the ball. And Timmy was off. Pablo hadn't made an error, I think, in 75 games or something, and they just picked a tough time to make one.
Yeah, you know what? That was a weird play because he was playing fairly deep, and the guy hit like a little two-hopper. He made a great play on it, but he peeked at the guy at second base when he was coming down the line. And I think just that little bit of him taking a peek got him pretty deep into the grass. And when he let it go, I mean, he's got such a great arm. It just took off on him. And that's sad. But, you know, the good news is it's over. He's got that out of the way. You know, I'm sitting here looking. You've had some really bad luck this year. A lot of people, we're talking to Bruce Bochy, the manager of the San Francisco Giants. He's got two World Series rings to his credit. We're trying to get, I think Boch is trying desperately and working real hard with his team to get a third one in 5 years this year. Right now, you're in the playoff hunt. As a matter of fact, if we had the playoffs were set up today, you'd be in it. But there's like two or three teams that are right there with you. So in reality, every game's like a playoff game, isn't it, Bruce?
Well, it is. When you get at this stage of the season and it's tight as this race is, there's not a big margin of error. I mean, you do really all you can to win every game, and that's the way it's going to be from this point on. It's funny. I mean, we'll play the Dodgers, and they'll say, well, this is a big game or big series. Every game is that way for us, and that's how we have to look at it. We thought this was an important road trip, and, we get the series in Chicago, and to win the first one here, I thought was really important for the club. Like you said, they went through a tough travel day, but they came out focused, playing, going against a pitcher who's been so good at home, Pister, and panic came through for us there. But we knew we had our work cut out here, and so to win the first one, I think made things and life a little bit easier. And the fact that now you're getting away from taking the series, but and having a great road trip. But this is a big game too. You get two good pitchers going at it, and I look forward to this matchup.
Now you lost Angel Pagan for what seemed like three months with a back injury. You've lost Brandon Belt for a long time. He with a freak accident by another guy that you lost, Marco Scudero. I mean, these are guys that you count on to be there, hopefully for the whole season, or at least if they're out for a 15 DL stint or something. But these guys, you've lost them completely. Hector Sanchez, who I think is your best receiving catcher. I love Hector. I just love what he does with some of the pitchers, and he does have some pop. He's got a concussion situation similar to Belt's where he's out now. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't know when we'll get him back. This game, I don't. It's sometimes things run in streaks, I guess. But I don't know. I've been here, I think, 8 years, Bruce, and I haven't had to deal with one concussion. And this year, we've had two big ones with Belt and Sanchez, and both of them around the same time. So Hector's probably going to go to Pittsburgh to look at the specialists. Our concussion guru, I guess you could call him, Dr. Collins, who looks at a lot of athletes here in Pittsburgh. And so I don't know when I'll get him back. And you're right, these guys we've missed. But, it's you have to deal with it. And I'll throw Matt Cain in there. These are unfortunate injuries. But this group does a good job of not dwelling on it and focusing forward. And we're in this thing. But like you said, every game's critical. And you're a run away from getting right back in it. You saw what Kansas City did. Heck, they were, eight and a half games back on July 21st. They were in third place,
right?
By the way, behind Cleveland, too. And now they're in first place. So, it just takes a good run to get right back where you want to be. Yeah. And the Nationals, they showed that with that streak they had.
Yusmeiro Pettit, or Petit is the way it's pronounced, has pitched great for you. He ended up starting that game, the protest game, right? And he threw like five perfect innings there. Then he comes here yesterday and steps up, what, 2 days later on just 2 days rest and throws another four or five when he comes in for Timmy. And he retired, and correct me if I'm wrong, 38 batters in a row of perfect ball. That's like a game and nine. It's like 12 innings, right, of perfect ball.
Yeah, well, this guy's our long man, and Bruce, he's a guy that we brought up last year, and he pitched great at the end of the season, starting for us, and the numbers aren't quite as good when he was starting earlier in the season, but, you know, we may tweak this rotation. We're going to talk about it because he is throwing the ball well, and, he came in and gave us exactly what we needed because my bullpen had really been used a lot with those rain delays in Chicago, and so they had some guys that just I couldn't use yesterday. And so it kind of forced us, put us in a box. We had to try to stay with Timmy a little bit longer, see if he could figure it out. But finally, it was evident that he was not going to get back on track. And that's where Petit is so valuable. And also that you can start him if you want to give Timmy a break. So these are things we're talking about internally now. And by the way, it is pronounced petite, but it is not fitting for this guy, as you can see.
Big guy. He's a big guy. He's you know what? A lot of your guys look exactly alike. You know that, right? I mean, I don't even know how you keep them straight when they're walking with their backs to them. Hopefully they've got their uniform on because they're all monster-looking guys. They're big shoulders, just big legs, and most of them have about the same haircut and beard. So, it's tough telling a lot of those guys alike. Now, Boach, it's no secret. We go way back to Little League, but one of the things people don't understand is when you're traveling around the country, there are so many things you have to deal with as just, having relatives and stuff. And this is a big weekend in Washington every time you come because all of your relatives from North Carolina come up. Is that right?
Yeah, it has been a busy weekend, and I really haven't had a chance to get out at all because of the schedule, getting in at 6 in the morning. That kind of took care of that day, and of course, we had a little rain delay yesterday, but, I have relatives that come up from North Carolina. I've got some in Maryland, I have some here, and, living in Bailey's Crossroads and in Falls Church there for a few years. I've got some friends that came out, and, so it's a busy time, hectic time, but it's good to catch up with everybody. And, I only had to fix one guy I left tickets for. He had a Washington hat on. I said, listen, I just have one rule. If I'm leaving tickets, you're not wearing any opposing team's gear. Overall, it's been pretty good. And it's a good, I got a lot of good family here. It's good to catch up.
Yeah, listen, I always enjoy it when you come to town. And I never go to San Francisco, but I'll hit you up when you're on your away games a lot of times. We're talking to Bruce Bochy, the manager of the San Francisco Giants. Boach, today you got Ryan Vogelsong going. Listen, Rye, you started out a little rough this year, and in spring training he was having some command issues and maybe some mechanical issues. He has pitched incredibly well lately, and you picked Jake Peavy up, who I think he's a lot like Vogelsong in a lot of ways. They're big, strong, broad-shouldered. Well, Jake's not as big as Ryan, but they're tough guys, aren't they? And they give you a chance every time they go out.
Right, they are. They're great competitors and very focused when they go out there. And they're not guys that try to power their way through the lineups. They pitch, but they compete well. And, they do what you hope your starting pitcher does on a consistent basis. And that's keeping the game, give you a chance to win. And they're as good as really anybody at that. And you look at them, they're not 95 to 96 guys, but they know what they're doing out there. And it's all about commanding the ball. You saw that with Petit. He's out there throwing 89, but he was locating well, mixing it up. And if you can do that, you'll have success in the major leagues.
Well, you got one kid that you brought up. Now, you've brought several kids up this year from AA and AAA, and you've made it work. But a kid that I was real high on, first time I saw him, when your son Brett was in Richmond a couple of years ago, pitching for the AA Richmond Flying Squirrels. There was a kid there that was your number one draft choice out of St. John's University, a shortstop, who's playing second base now at the big league level, Joe Panic. This kid's the real deal. Now, yesterday, to me, he got a little anxious and kind of went after a couple of high balls and hit into two double plays. Probably could have took him for balls, but this kid is a really good hitter. He's made a big difference, hasn't he?
He really has. A tough kid. He dislocated his pinky at home before we hit this road trip. We thought we were going to lose for 2 to 3 weeks, and he missed one game, and he was back out there and playing well. Does a good job defensively. He's a base hit, the bat guy that uses the whole field. Hit his first home run here, so he did show he's got some pop, but you could tell they were being careful with him yesterday, throwing him a lot more off speed, and his game's about adjustment, so it's going to be up to him to make that adjustment. But this kid has good patience at the plate. It's an easy short swing, a very simple swing that's going to work, and he has a nice ability to get the good part of bat on the ball. And you're going to have an off day, and that happened to him yesterday. But overall, this kid's done a great job for us.
He squares it up real good. I love the way he stays above the ball, and he. Even when he first came up, he doesn't seem like he likes going to two strikes. He's very comfortable with a two-strike count. We're talking to Bruce Bochy, the manager of the San Francisco Giants. Hey, Bruce, listen, I know you got to go because you got a game here shortly. It's like a 135 or 105 start today. You go back to San Francisco tomorrow. Did you heard there was a little tremor there, 6.0 this morning at 6 a.m., that they say was the most powerful earthquake they've had since the big one, but the one they had during the World Series. There's a few people out of power, but you got the Rockies in a 4-game series, and you got the tough Milwaukee Brewers coming to town. That's going to be, I just see you guys getting a lot tougher at home in the last month of the season, because really you've been better on the road, haven't you? And is there any – do you have any idea why that is?
Well, I wish I did, or I'd fix what happened at home this past, 5-6 weeks, because we've been awful. Right? There's no getting around it, and we've always been good at home, but for some reason we've had a tough time scoring runs, and I can't tell you why. And it's got to get better, or else we're not going to be in this thing. And so, we have talked about it. We did finish up on a good note. We took a series there at home, had a winning homestand the last one. So hopefully that kind of gets the confidence back, the mojo back at home, and because that's where you have to make your hay. But guys have been good road warriors, but, that's not going to work if you don't play well at home too. So we're definitely conscious of it, working at it, and it will be a big homestand, but like I said, every game's going to be big, and the earthquake you mentioned, I had to make some calls this morning, happened in Napa. I got a lot of friends there that are winemakers, so I had to check on my wine, make sure that the price of Silver Oak isn't going way up because we lost a lot of it, but it was a big one. It was a 6-0, so that's a big one, and So far, all is good there, and we look forward to getting home after a good game today.
Well, listen, good luck to you, Bruce, and I got to tell you, I'll be rooting for you, and I'm looking forward to the playoffs. All right, buddy?
All right, good talking with you,
all
Bruce.
All right, Bruce Bochy, right. The manager of the San Francisco Giants. They got a game today at 1:35 Eastern against the Nats. If they can win that, they'll win 2 out of 3 against the Nationals and head home for a 7-game series. And you heard Boch, they need to start winning at home. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall, and I'm a realtor, and we'll be back in a minute with Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back. That was Bruce Bochy, manager of the San Francisco Giants, like we mentioned prior. They are in town in Washington, D.C., taking on the Washington Nationals, who before that series had won 10 straight, and the Giants snapped that bad boy.
Yeah, with no sleep.
No sleep.
Figure that out. So it was the next day that they were a little flat, and they got beat last night. Mm-hmm. Now, but if Pablo doesn't throw that ball away at first base, it's 3-2, like for five innings instead of 6-2. So, you know, that's just the way baseball is. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. We're gonna have Mike Wallace on, a good friend of mine. He grew up just a great baseball guy. He is one of the co-stars of Nat's Talk on Masson Sports in Washington.
I knew you'd get it.
Can't believe I said that. And because, you know, there are more than one. There's CSN. There are so many sports. And now there's NBC Sports, CBS, and they're all cable affiliated, which is sometimes the hardest thing to remember. You know these guys, but you're not sure who they work for, especially if you're 60 and your mind's going. We're going to talk a little bit about baseball, but let's talk a little bit about the NBA real quick. For all you NBA guys out there, obviously, you know, they're going to get what they want in Cleveland for the big man, for LeBron, and they got Kevin Love. You know, this happened about a week ago, but they traded one of the top picks away.
Their last two top picks.
That's right. They went, and Kevin Love came to Cleveland. Now, a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of people that think Kevin Love's not physical enough. You know what I mean? To make this spot, I don't think that's that important. I think he can do everything. He can rebound. He can score. He can run the floor. He can shoot from the outside. What, he can shoot free throws.
I don't know how much more physical you need the guy to be. I mean, the guy's
doesn't he average like 11 pounds a game?
He's a walking triple double. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's good, and he's not that old either. I mean, no. I want to say he's 27. Maybe.
He's younger than I am. So
that's a great move for Cleveland. It looks like Cleveland, you know, has just instantly just jump back to the top.
Absolutely.
And that's what it was all about. It's about bringing a championship to Cleveland. Whether they get it this year, you know, who knows. But it'll be fun to follow them during the season. And, you know, in the NBA, when the thing I like about LeBron James, and I wouldn't even call him LBJ, because that's a kick in the teeth to LeBron James, because I'm not going to compare him with a murdering slug. But LeBron James plays hard every night. I don't think I ever remember seeing him cruise. And I've watched him play a lot. You know who else was like that? Michael Jordan.
I don't think LeBron really – I don't think he's much of those play hard every night kind of guys.
Really?
He cruises a lot, yeah.
I've never seen a game where he didn't
– He's kind of known for cruising into the fourth quarter too, and that's kind of where
– You mean
where
just staying close?
Where he disappears, yeah. I mean, he's starting to get better.
He's got a little different deal now. I mean, he's not the only stud. He was the only – I mean, I thought – I didn't think anybody in Miami helped him that much. I didn't think Dwayne Wade helped him that much.
I mean, they were the best team on the floor every night. I mean, Dwayne Wade, he did run into some injury issues, but, I mean, Chris Bosh is an all-star. He'll remain an all-star.
Don't you think Bosh cruised almost all year? I think he did.
I mean, I think Chris Bosh is he was.
I think
asked,
that was the plan.
He was asked to play a position that is not his true position. He was asked to play a big five, which he's more of a stretch four.
So, yeah, he is.
So he needs a true center along with him. Whereas Miami didn't have that true center, which they went searching for him. You know, they brought in Birdman, they brought in Greg Oden, even, you know, and his health problems. So they were searching for that
He looks
big guy.
50 now, by the way. Yeah, he looks 50.
I mean, and he didn't even – I don't even think he really saw the floor, if at all.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Miami – him getting out of Miami, now he ends up in Cleveland, where Cleveland has a better big three than Miami did. That doesn't mean that Miami's big three wasn't good, but Kyrie Irving is a star point guard in this league, and LeBron's never really played with a true point guard. So it'll be interesting to see how he plays with the point guard, because LeBron brought the ball up a lot in Miami.
Won't have to as much.
Right. Now he'll be more playing that true position, that true two or three, whichever, wherever they put him.
Do you think they have some moves to make still?
No, absolutely not.
So they're done?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they'll bring up a couple bench players, you know, maybe grab some guys like that. But, I mean, Cleveland is already young. They were already a young team. They already have a bench. They get rid of Anthony Bennett, who they took last year in the first round, and he never really panned out. He got hurt. They sent him in that trade for Kevin Love. So Kevin Love comes to Cleveland. Anthony Bennett and Andrew Wiggins, the last two first-round picks, go back to Minnesota. And then they also get Thaddeus Young from the 76ers. So they – that, I mean –
How did they get Thaddeus Young?
That's a great question. am just learning about this. So I haven't really read much about it.
We're going to have Scott O'Neill on next week. Mm-hmm. And Scotty O'Neill will probably tell us exactly how they got him now that it's done. Mm-hmm. Did it just happen?
Well, yesterday it looks like the Minnesota Timberwolves released the complete details of the trade via an advertisement and some papers. Mm-hmm. So, and it has Andrew Wiggins and Anthony Bennett, which everybody knew was already part of the Kevin Love deal. And then they added Thaddeus Young in there. And in the picture, the advertisement, Thaddeus Young is still in a 76ers jersey. So it's come buy Minnesota Timberwolves, you know, gear or season tickets with Andrew Wiggins and Anthony Bennett, who are in Cleveland jerseys, and right. Thaddeus Young, who's in a 76ers jersey. So,
well, the Sixers are a good 3 years away anyway, maybe 4 years away, because they are so young, you know. But you know, it sounds like they did have a great draft.
They had a good draft. I mean, they took over the draft. They had as many picks as possible. I mean, when you talk about a rebuilding year, couple of years, whatever you want to call it. I mean, the 76ers are rebuilding.
Right.
From every sense of the word, they're rebuilding. I mean, as far as they're concerned, if you were on the court last year, you don't even expect to play this year because they are completely they're tearing this team apart. I mean, it just shows that they're sending Thaddeus Young to the Timberwolves.
Well, I'm gonna buzz Steve Buckhantz during the week. We're gonna get him on to talk about the Washington Wizards, who, you know, may or may not change their name. There's talk about them going back to the Bullets, which would be kind of neat.
I hope so.
Well, you know, they've got the Bullets uniforms. They got the red, white, and blue stripes, which I always loved. And, you know, shoot, the Gettysburg girls softball team are called the Bullets.
All right.
Listen, we'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
You're an Oriole fan.
No, I hate the Orioles.
I thought you did like the Orioles. Oh, you're a Nats fan only. You're one of those guys. You know, I don't hate the Orioles. And
I didn't used to hate the Orioles.
No, I didn't used to hate them either because it was the only baseball we could see. Yeah, I mean,
I never grew up an Orioles fan.
Well, you know what? It's real easy to hate the Orioles if you hate owners. Because I don't hate the Redskins, but I don't love them like I used to because Daniel Snyder. And Peter Angelos, honestly, same deal. You know, he's kind of a slug. Although, you know, he's mellowed out a bit and he's getting up there in age. But in my opinion, well, the Orioles have it going on because they're 7 games out in front in the American League East in front of the New York Yankees, who right now still have a shot. You know, they're probably a couple of games back in the wild card, but you know, anybody can still get into the playoffs. It looks like Baltimore's definitely in.
Yeah,
it looks like Kansas City is definitely in. I'm not going to say Detroit's definitely in because they can't seem to win a game. You know, they made these trades. They ended up getting David Price, right? And they figured, oh, it's a lock now. Well, they have a losing record since they got David Price.
Yeah,
David Price pitched a one hitter the other day, Roy. He lost 1-0.
That's right.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
I think it was an unearned run.
Yeah, the Yankees right now, they're 3.5 games out of the
wild card. Yeah. And you know, they've also got a couple of teams behind them in the East that can catch them. Toronto and Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland has been playing really well. They're 2 games over 500 right now.
Five out of the wild card.
Yeah, exactly. They're right there with the Yankees. And guess who's taking over that last wild card spot?
Seattle.
The Seattle.
It's the Angelo Rippins.
Let me tell you something. That team is playing some ball. And they've got great pitching. And they got Robinson Cano having a solid year. And they just have, you know, everybody. For the last 2 years, people have been saying, watch out for Seattle, watch out for Seattle. And nothing really ever happened. But this year, it's happening. And a lot of the reason it's happening is if you look at a team like, the Yankees, they've gotten old and they've gotten injured. And they just don't have what it takes to build a big winning streak. You know what I mean? They're lucky to win 2 out of 3 in a series, in my opinion. Toronto is never going to get it done. I don't know what the problem is up there. I know that at the trade deadline, they didn't do anything. Yeah.
They're sliding again right
there
now.
There were a lot of people that were that play for them that were very vocal against the front office going, what are they doing? You know, I mean, we have a good team. I mean, we just need a few spots filled. But Oakland is going to be hammering it in there. You know, they get rid of their best power hitter, and Jonas Cespedes.
Yeah.
And he goes to Boston, starts hitting the wall right away, and they love him there. Even though Boston's struggling, but that'll be a big building block for
Boston
them in the future.
This year is a wash.
Well, they just threw it away. Absolutely.
They won the World Series, and now they're just chilling.
Yeah, and now people are throwing. You know, everybody's hitting Big Poppy now. You know, he got nailed last night on the hand. It looked pretty much like it was done on purpose.
Did he tell him that it was his city that they stopped?
Hey, but L.A., Oakland, and Seattle, they got it going on. Texas is horrible. Minnesota, Chicago, I don't even want to talk about them. But Cleveland, Detroit, and Kansas City is the story. I was listening to Ned Yost this morning on my way driving in, and he was being interviewed by Casey Stern or somebody, and it was a pretty good interview. And I'm going to tell you, this guy who had been fired twice before from two other teams has finally figured out how to coach. He's a lot more laid back. He doesn't scream and holler anymore. I had a friend that worked for him for years, a guy by the name of Kelly Heath, who liked Ned a lot. He thought a lot of him. And he's managed to make it work. And these guys that, you know, Kansas City had the best minor league system in the major leagues for the last 3 or 4 years, all of a sudden these guys are showing up. Billy Butler's hit. They're all hitting.
Yeah.
And when they score four runs, you know what? They're like 45 games over 500.
The division they play in helps a lot for them, too.
It does because,
you know. Not the best division out there.
Well, it's not. And Detroit isn't, you know, they're struggling right now. Now, I find it hard to believe that Detroit will not make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, it looks like they will.
They're a game out of the wild card. But you have Oakland and L.A., one of those two is taking one of the wild card spots. So it really only leaves one
other
spot.
It could even be the Angels taking the wild card spot because they just lost Garrett Richards. Yeah. Garrett Richards is covering first base. And I got to tell you, I've lost college kids in the summer to a really bad high ankle sprain covering, like on a turf field covering first base. All it takes is a turned ankle big time, and you're down for a good month and a half. I mean, a high ankle sprain, you might as well break it, to be honest with you.
And how about that? I mean, they need him more than ever right now. How about that? The two best teams in baseball play in the same division. They both play in the A West.
And you know what? That we're seeing that happen not only in Major League Baseball, but we're seeing that in the NFL too. And we haven't even talked any NFL today. And we'll get there. Yeah, we will. We're gonna at the turn of the hour.
Yesterday was National Draft Day. I don't know if you knew that or not. It was National Draft Day for fantasy football.
Well, I didn't know that because we drafted last week.
We did draft last week. That's because my draft, my big money
Your
draft,
big
is,
money draft
is today.
Hey,
so I wanted to.
So
put
you need
together,
a part? Do you need a partner?
No, I got a team. I got a,
okay.
It's, I would. I'll. We have a waiting list. Otherwise,
I'll no. I don't want one, more than one team because it's hard enough for me to
teams.
Remember to make my plays. When we get back. From our break here in about a, you know, we're going to break in about a minute. We're going to go over all the standings. But right now, Baltimore's got it locked up in the East. I mean, I checked. I think they're a 96% chance they win the East. So.
That's pretty good chance.
Yeah, that's pretty good chance.
I'll take that.
And you know what? I like Kansas City being 3-4 games out in front right now. I don't see anybody catching them. And like you said, it could be L.A., Oakland. L.A. or Oakland, it's not going to be Seattle. Seattle's playing only for a wild card. Mm-hmm. But those other two teams, it'll come down to the last week, in my opinion, for sure. And I'll tell you what, Major League Baseball playoffs are going to be unreal this year because everybody that's in it can win it. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back with Second Opinion in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to brucehallsports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're going to talk baseball now, Roy.
Okay.
We're, you know, finishing up, we don't have that long. before we break. We have our 4 or 5 minute break at the top of the hour. Then we got Mike Wallace coming on. And knowing Michael, he'll do 1 or 2 segments. And we'll hit baseball real hard then. And then the last half hour is going to be all football, all NFL football.
The foosball.
It's going to be football, man. And we're not talking, you know, what do you call it? MLS or whatever it is.
Vamos United, LSD. By the way. First in the East, first in the league.
Nobody knows what you're talking about.
All right, but you know what? Hey, we do now. The United are in first place. It's unbelievable.
Hell yeah! Just took it last night.
Yeah,
nobody cares.
Is there anybody on the team that we even know their name?
Eddie Johnson.
Nope.
What?
Never heard.
Who's
of
that?
He's one of the guy that got left out of the World Cup.
Even he doesn't know.
He got left out of the World Cup.
He's the guy that didn't play for the World Cup.
Oh, he's the guy that got left out of the World Cup.
Everybody knows him. Okay. You know, the guy who didn't play for the World Cup team.
All right, let's go to the National League real quick, and let's talk about the National League. We talked briefly about – we know everything we need to know about the San Francisco Giants, and we always do. And I never picked them guys to win because I don't want to jinx them. But Washington, Atlanta, you know, Atlanta lost, I don't know, 8 or 9 games in a row. Then they ran off like a few games. And now they're back to 68-61, and they are literally
62.
Yeah, they're tied for the fifth spot with San Francisco. Well, basically
they're a game back.
Yeah, they're half a game back, but they're tied with San Francisco, and they're tied. And St. Louis has actually got the fourth spot. They're 69-58, 11 games
Pittsburgh's
over.
Right in
and
there
by
too.
The way, St. Louis is who I picked before the season started to win it all, and to win the National League pennant. Because I wasn't going to pick San Francisco. The Dodgers are 4 games out in front.
Yep.
Here's what I think about the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers are going to be close because they have talent. I don't think they may not even beat San Francisco, but right now you'd have to say it's going to be a dogfight till the end. They have 6 games with each other. And, you know, 3 in L.A., 3 in San Francisco. St. Louis has a pretty easy they have the easiest, in my opinion, schedule left because they've got Central Division games. They got Chicago, Cincinnati, you know, and Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And I'm almost certain they only have 3 games left with Milwaukee. Milwaukee is tough, but they're feeling the pressure. They're only 1 game out in front now.
Yeah.
And, you know, St. Louis, they seem to be hitting their stride a little bit. It would help if some of the moves they made start paying off. They need to keep everybody healthy.
Even Miami's kind of in there.
Did you see Justin Upton's bomb he hit just a minute ago? A day ago? He hit a bomb, Roy. I want to tell you, he hit a bomb that got way up in the upper deck, and it was unreal. Mm-hmm. And he looks like he's lost. I mean, maybe it's just me, but he looks like he's lost some weight. Justin still isn't hitting the ball. But Freddie Freeman's he's starting to hit the ball a little bit. The third baseman Johnson's starting to hit the ball a little bit.
The Braves in general are kind of they're a streaky team. They're a lot like the Nationals were the first half of the season, where they had a lot of great hitters, but none of them were really showing up.
Well, they're 8-2 their last 10 games, and you know the Nats are of course 9-1 their last
7-3.
10
games. Yeah. They lost last night.
Well, they're 8. I know. I'm just looking at my notes say 8-2, but that's fine. 64-63 is Miami. Now Miami has a shot, but it's a long shot because Pittsburgh is playing a little better ball than Miami. Pittsburgh has the better team, and they got McCutcheon back. So you know they've got a great shot there. Here's
only
what,
a game and a half out.
It's going to be Washington, and let's say Milwaukee holds on.
Okay,
and let's say the Dodgers hold on. Then it's going to be between San Francisco, Pittsburgh, St. Louis, and Atlanta for 2 spots. That's tough. Mm-hmm. But you know what it's going to create? A lot of excitement and a lot of sold-out, you know, games. People are going to want to go see them. You know, people right now, when I went to the game yesterday, and I was at the Nationals game yesterday because Boch is in town, and I'm wearing San Francisco stuff.
Well, you better, or he'll take your tickets from
you. Well, I use my tickets.
We heard what Boch said.
I use my tickets when we're here. But he always gets me on the field. Yesterday, unfortunately, only the Nats took batting practice. I got to talk to Mike Rizzo. I saw Mike Rizzo, said hey to him. And you know, he was talking to Matt Williams. I mean, they were like tay-to-tay for like a half an hour. And I think they're talking about move. They may be making a, you know, because it's not too late to make a move. Yeah. You can make a move till September 1st and still keep the player on your playoff roster.
Well, they just brought up the guy they traded for or picked up from the Cubs.
Oh, Nate Sherholz. I have a Nate Sherholz jersey in my I may even wear it today.
He's been around for a while.
You know what? If I wear the Sherholz jersey and they win, I'll wear it every time from now on. But here's the interesting thing about like the way that the Washington Nationals fans are. You know, this is San Francisco. Okay, mm-hmm. It's not Philly. It's not the Mets. It's not somebody on the Eastern Seaboard. So you don't have normally as many fans that come for the other team, except with San Francisco. The other night, on Friday night, mm-hmm. Roy, it was unbelievable. It was like a San Francisco home game.
Yeah.
They were so loud and there were so many of them. Hmm. Now, yesterday...
That's surprising, too, considering Washington is on the 10-game winning streak at that
they're
point.
Everywhere, though. And well, plus they took a lead early and then they kept pounding it on, and Nats fans didn't have much reason to cheer. But The thing that was amazing yesterday is when it was a it rained. They had about a 1 hour rain delay, mm-hmm. and there were a lot of people there, kind of at the start. But then when you look when everybody went out into the stadium, a lot of people had left, and then all of a sudden it filled back up. And I mean, I bet there were 30,000 people there yesterday after about an hour and a half rain delay. But everybody is walking up from Capitol Hill. Everybody's taking the Metro. Everybody's watching the Nats now because they're winning.
Well, they're exciting.
It was the way it was 2 years ago. Remember 2 years ago how exciting it was?
Absolutely.
At the end? I mean, they were one game away from the World Series.
I was at the game against Pittsburgh where they clinched.
Yeah. It was a great game. Actually, it was a great game, the one they lost.
Or Pittsburgh. Well, Pittsburgh beat... whoever it was for us to clinch.
Yeah.
We lost that game.
Yeah. St. Louis is who we lost to. And that was terrible. We were up 6-0 and lost the game.
Yeah, I know.
People jinxed them.
I was in a bar by myself.
People were asking me, where they could get World Series tickets, and I was literally smacking people in the face as hard as I could, going, you know what a jinx is? You're a jinx. Don't talk to me.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
And guess what happened?
Yeah, they lost.
Yeah, they lost. They jinxed them.
Well, that was strike. I'm telling you. Drew Storen.
I know. He got squeezed to death. I know. I was there. Hey, he squeezed him so bad. It was unbelievable.
I knew it was done.
You know what we call that in the baseball business? Stage fright. The umpire had stage fright. He didn't have the... Can I say...
Kahunas.
I can't say that.
We can say kahunas, right?
Whenever you say, can I say, just stop there.
He didn't have the marbles. He didn't have the
marbles. You ain't got no marbles.
Hey, he didn't have the marbles to make the strike three call, and that's stage fright. And you know what? For a major league umpire to have stage fright, exactly. For a major league umpire to have stage fright in the ninth inning of a game that determines the World Series, you know what we call those guys? Unemployed.
Yeah.
Because that's what he needs to be. The problem is umpires. Scroll. Exactly. thank you. What's his name?
That's
the guy
that's
from Miracle.
Miracle.
I thought you were asking my name.
It's Kurt Russell. In reality, it's Kurt Russell. But the thing that kills me is they're just like weathermen. And this is all for all my umpire friends that are listening to the show. This is why you hate me so much, and I love it. You guys can be wrong all the time.
Yeah.
And you don't lose your job. You really don't. Now, when you get raided, and when people actually send in information that says who the good guys are and the bad guys, that's the only time it helps or hurts one of you guys. But just like weathermen, and we know that, you can be wrong. You can call for a tornado, and then all of a sudden it's like the prettiest day of the year, and it's like, oh, I screwed up. I'm sorry.
Well, it's almost expected now that they're going to
But you know what's great about the major leagues is they have taken a lot of the anger out of the game now with being able to reverse calls. Do you know how many...
Nobody gets ejected anymore.
Do you know what the call reversal percentage is?
It's probably pretty high.
It's like 40%.
Yeah, that's high.
That means that they blow... On a close call, they blow 4 out of 10 calls. Hey, aren't they supposed to be better than that? Wouldn't you think they'd blow 1 out of 10 calls on a close one, on a bang-bang?
I wonder what the reversal is in the NFL, though, with challenges. I bet that's pretty high, too.
It is pretty high, but see, they also don't let you challenge more than once and a half if you're wrong, right?
Well, I think it's the same in baseball.
I think they get two. And
it's like per six innings.
But
or
the
something
umpires
like that.
Can call for a ruling too. In other words, if the umpires aren't sure, they don't need anybody.
They don't need the challenge.
They can go to each other and go, you know what, let's look at that.
And do baseball teams have the same amount of people in the stands or in the box that NFL teams have like 13 people looking at each play?
The MLB goes to New York, a lot like how the NHL will go to, I believe it's Toronto.
And see, that's the problem with what baseball's doing. But evidently, it's the only way they can do it, or they wouldn't do it that way, because it makes more sense to have a guy on site with the cameras. So he doesn't have to wait for, you know, the extra time and going to New York and waiting for those guys to get it. Plus, in New York, they can only look at one challenge at a time. They may get two challenges at the same time. That's why sometimes they're very slow at getting them done. You know, it's a pretty complicated situation, but at least they're trying, because at least with instant replay, it's not going to make for shorter baseball games. But, you know, have you noticed how much they don't care? I mean, a Boston Red Sox, New York Yankee game, average of 4 hours.
Oh, yeah.
4 hours.
Well, plus baseball. But
if you've got a quick pitcher, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're
fine. But if you've got a quick hit, a pitcher that just gets the ball, gets on the
like
mat.
Doug Fister.
Like Jordan Zimmerman.
Or Jordan Zimmerman,
And Timmy Lincecum.
Yep.
You know, those two, if Timmy was throwing strikes yesterday, that could have been a two-hour game.
Yeah, both of them on the mound at the same time.
They don't even care. You know, the nice thing about doing it that way, that quick, your infielders and outfielders are paying attention. Mm-hmm. They're not like falling asleep. There was a guy the other night in the Giant game. Mm-hmm. That came in to basically to clean up the game in the ninth inning. Mm-hmm. That half the inning took like a half hour. And these guys from San Francisco were so exhausted at the beginning, they just wanted to get out of there. I know Bochy was like, come on, Gutierrez, throw a freaking strike. Yeah, let him hit it. I don't care where they hit it. There's two outs. And he'd walk a guy, but he'd take his time, you know?
Yeah.
And it was killing everybody. We're gonna break in a minute. For our big break, then we're going to come back with Mike Wallace of Nats Talk. And the thing that's great about Mike is it's not just Nats Talk. It's Mets Talk. It's Yankees Talk. It's Philadelphia Phillies Talk. It'll even be San Francisco Giant Talk. And it'll definitely be Washington Nats Talk. Because the Nats are leading. And you know what's great about the Nats? They're 14 and a half games in front of Sandy Alderson and the New York Mets. Hey, Sandy, get a life, will you? Seriously. I mean, are they going to keep him? It's not really his fault. You know, people are calling for...
Well, we already fixed the Mets. Remember, we moved him to Brooklyn. So
I wish they'd build a place in Brooklyn.
You can send me that check.
Hey, we'll be back in a minute with more of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Be right back.
This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play it, just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back, and we're on the line with Mike Wallace of Nats Talk. Mike, you there?
I'm here, Bruce.
Hey, thanks for coming on today. We bumped into each other getting off the elevator yesterday afternoon, and it was good to see you. Mike has a show that he does with Phil Wood on Masson Sports Saturday mornings, 10 to noon, and I don't miss it because for about an hour and a half to 2 hours, I get all the information that I'm ever looking for when it comes to the Nats or the National League East or just baseball in general. That's what I love about the show. It's not just about the Nats, but certainly it's the Nats are somebody to talk about right now, aren't they?
Oh yeah, they're the story in the National League East right now. Playing good baseball, winning a lot of close ball games, and you know how much luck is involved in baseball, Bruce, and right now they're on a lucky streak and playing well. And when you put those things together, your winning percentage goes up dramatically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, yesterday I had Boach on early this morning. Of course, they got a 135 start, so I was lucky to get him on at all on the radio. It's a lot easier to get Boach just face-to-face. But thing that's amazing about Washington's run, especially that 10-game winning streak, is they had six walk-offs, right?
Yeah, they, you know, and a couple of those they were winning and gave up the lead late, and you would think that they would get, you know, down about it, but like I said, the guys who gave up the leads would throw out the anchor and hold, not give up. You know, they'd tie it, but they wouldn't give up the winning run. So the Nats were able to win it in, you know, in walk-off fashion in the bottom of the inning.
You know, if you look at the Nats lineup, their starting lineup, there's so many things. I saw Mike Rizzo yesterday at bat. As a matter of fact, the Nats were the only guys that got batting practice in yesterday. I was on the field waiting on San Francisco, and it started raining, and they just pulled the tarp up, put the tarp out.
It was sketchy about whether they were going to get any batting practice in. So the fact that the Nats got, you know, some of their guys did get some swings, that's just, you know, the luck of the draw, because I thought it was, you know, probably going to be a rain-interrupted game. But after the hour and ever how long rain delay that they had at the start of the game, they were able to, you know, get it in without having to put the tarp back on.
You know, if you look at the Nationals, you know, position by position, I mean, they have a very good team. And what's amazing about the Nats is I can, you know, talk to Rizzo or email guys and go back and forth about what are we going to do next year? Because there are so many different things they can do with the talent that they have. They've got Michael Taylor, who came up for a brief time, you know, and obviously he's on the 40-man roster now. And also this kid, Steven Souza Jr., this kid's a monster and having a monster year. Sooner or later, if they keep him in the organization, Mike, aren't they going to have to find a place for him to play every day?
Well, they've got, you know, we went over this yesterday on this show. You can throw in Tyler Moore. You can throw in – they've got players. They've got – the system is working for them right now. They've got arms. They've got position guys. I asked Mike if he was going to, you know, get into the auction for Asdrubal Cabrera, because he's been outstanding since he made that trade for him. And, you know, I think that, you know, they're going to make a few queries about that, about whether he's available at a certain price and for a certain amount of years. I know that Mike's not real crazy about 8-9 year contracts and crazy stuff like that, but I think if he could get Cabrera for a reasonable amount of money, and Cabrera was okay playing second base, that they would have a shot at him. But I keep hearing that he's Derek Jeter's successor.
You know, I don't see that. But because the people in Cleveland I know, they're not crazy about him anyway. As a matter of fact, their thing to us was basically, well, you know, he was good early in his career, and lately he just acted like he didn't really want to be there. And I can see that because, you know, you get used to, you know how it is. If you're used to losing, it's not much fun sometimes. Then you go to a team that's 10, 20 games over 500. And if you look at guys like Adam LaRoche, what this guy does day in, day out, I have never seen a guy with more confidence at the plate than LaRoche. Have you? A lefty facing lefties. He faces everybody and he hits everybody.
Well, he's just the consummate professional, and he is one of those guys, along with Jason Worth, and I'll even throw Desmond in as a veteran guy now. That,
oh, he is a vet.
They're the glue that, you know, they're the ones that are getting it done every day. They're the grinders, and I'll throw Denard Span in there too.
Oh, well, he's having a super year.
Because these guys they're all veteran players, you know. Because the younger guys, Wilson Ramos is sort of like on the bubble,
yeah,
going from a young player to a veteran player. And then you got Rendon and Harper, who obviously both still young players.
Yeah.
But the veteran guys are the guys that are really the glue that keeps the thing together. And, you know, if they get Zimmerman back, it's just going to be a plus. Because right now they still have enough to get this thing done. with Zimmerman on the bench.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I was talking, I wasn't talking to Mike about it. I was going to talk to Mike about it. You know, you hate to bring up guys like Zimmerman. Zimmerman might be the odd man out in this deal. I could see Ryan Zimmerman, honestly. Now, he signed, I think, through 19?
Yeah, I was going to say at least, you know, into the near future.
How would that work? I mean, a team like the New York Yankees probably would take that contract, wouldn't they?
Well, I'm not sure. I don't know if they're going to try and go in a different direction, because the Yankees, if they don't get in the playoffs, I think have some real issues to deal with about should we just blow the thing up and start all over, or do we try and patch it up and try and get one more year out of these guys?
I don't see it. They are, I'll tell you what, not only are they old, they're all beat up. I mean, Ryan Zimmerman on a team like the Yankees would be one of their younger players. I mean, he's probably younger than Teixeira, isn't he?
I think that Ryan is a little bit younger than Mark.
Mark's the baby in that lineup.
Zimmerman might be the healthiest guy on there.
Yeah, you know, they paying Beltran all this money. I'm not a big Carlos Beltran fan because I know a little too much about Beltran, and I didn't like it when Brian Sabian took Beltran 2 years ago or 3 years ago, remember, in 2011?
Yeah.
And he gave up his number one prospect, was Zach Wheeler, who they could use right now for sure. And basically what I said at the time was, why do that? I mean, there's not even that great of a chance that you're going to make the playoffs. They were trying to win two World Series in a row. Well, what happened was they ended up winning the next year. But they still lost Zach Wheeler for really nothing.
Those deals are going to happen every year, Bruce.
Yeah.
You know, 50 years ago, that the famous Doyle Alexander for some prospect named John Smoltz.
Oh, that's right.
In Detroit took Alexander from the Braves and went on and got into the playoffs. So they accomplished what they wanted to do, which was get into the playoffs right now.
Right.
But you've got to give up something, and what they gave up was a future Hall of Fame pitcher. So those deals happen every year.
Yeah, no, I know, but you know what?
If you're the guy getting the veteran player, one, I want to get into the playoffs right now, and I'm willing
immediately
to give up something. But I also hope the guy I give up doesn't become a Hall of Fame pitcher.
No, absolutely. Hey, Mike, can you stay another segment? We got to sell some stuff here, but can you come back with us for another segment?
Sure, I'll do that.
All right, man. Mike Wallace, everybody. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. More Bruce Hall's second opinion in a minute.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's second opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to brucehallsports.com or by going to facebook.com/brucehallsports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back with Mike Wallace of Nats Talk, a Mass and Sports TV show on every Saturday from 10 to noon. But Mike Wallace goes a lot further back than that for me. I remember Mike Wallace getting all of my friends out when he was pitching at Madison High School and winning. It's Tom Christie, right? All those state championships. Unbelievable. Mike, thanks for staying on.
Well, I just wanted to make sure we talk about your buddy Bochy's pitching staff. And
oh, God.
The thing is, you know, when you lose Matt, I was thinking about this, Bruce. You lose a pitcher of the caliber of Matt Cain.
Oh, I know.
Hard to overcome.
Yep.
And I think he's done a great job keeping them in the hunt, not only for the National League West, but also for the wild card. And I told him yesterday, I hope we see you in the playoffs.
That would be good. It would be good because I'd have a lot of friends there.
there's a possibility of that happening.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's not that fun. It's a lot. There's a lot better chance of the Nationals and the Giants meeting in the postseason than there is of there being a Beltway World Series.
Yeah, you know, that's true because they both would have to get there.
And get it win through three, mm-hmm. three tiers.
Yeah, you know, I still, you know, St. Louis is only one game back now of Milwaukee, who, and Milwaukee is struggling a little bit as of, you know, recently, but they can turn it back on pretty quickly too. But St. Louis, as you know, because we've, you know, you've been on the show earlier this year a couple of times, I picked them to win it all this year. And they're right there right now. I mean, and they really haven't gotten it in gear yet.
Yeah. I'm not real happy with their starting rotation. I don't think that Justin Masterson has pitched well all year. And
right.
he's had some poor games for the Cardinals since they made that deal for him. So I think that they're missing, you know, Waka and Carpenter, who retired. So I think that their starting pitching is not as strong as it was the last year. So, and the Nationals have had troubles beating the Cardinals. But I think that, you know, if they end up playing in the playoffs, I think it's going to be a pretty close series, because I think the Nationals starting pitching is just
better.
It's formidable.
You know, I would say it's as good as anybody's or better. And that, and listen, they haven't even hit their stride, because you and I, you know, we both like Steven Strasburg, but he was, you know, he'd have a good game, then have a bad game, then have a good game, then have a bad game. He's just now starting to get his command back with his fastball. There are times when, you know, he'll throw his change and make guys look sick. Then I don't see him throw it for another three innings, and he's throwing fastballs on the white of the plate, and they're just slamming the ball. You know, let's talk about Bochy, what he did. Now, I got to tell you, you know me, I'm kind of hands-on with my buddies. I must have sent him three text messages every day that said two words, David Price. I kept sending that to him, and hopefully that he would just, you know, kind of tell Sabian, look, man, you know, we'll talk the owners into paying that money next year. You know, don't worry about it. Let's get David Price in here and make sure we make the playoffs. But they got Jake Peavy for a lot less money. And Jake played for, you know, he pitched for Boch in San Diego and won a Cy Young Award. And he's done a really good job since he got back. You know, they haven't won every game he started, but he's kept them in every game. And he reminds me of Ryan Vogelsong, who is very similar, only a little bit bigger guy. Jake's not as big. Jake looks big when he pitches, but when you stand next to him, you're bigger than he is. He's just a tough guy. He's got him. Remember the, how about the guy yesterday, Mike? Petit?
He was perfect.
Yeah, he's been perfect for 38 straight batters. That's sick. He almost pitched a perfect game last year at the end of the season. It didn't mean anything.
Got 38 straight outs. That's a perfect game and a half, isn't it?
It's three innings past a perfect game. I'm going to tell you, 12 innings of a perfect game. That's like Harvey Haddix's, right, with Baltimore?
Say, you know, they should give, if a guy does that, a middle reliever, even though it's not a perfect game, if you get 38 straight batters out, they ought to throw in a perfect game.
Well, he's got his name in the record books, that's for sure. But look what they're doing. Bumgarner is their stud, and Bumgarner, for one reason or another, has not won at home. He's got an ERA of 5 or more at home. I think he won his second game at home all year last time out. But on the road, he's almost perfect. And they've also got, you know, Vogelsong, they've got Jake now. They just don't, you know, they Timmy is probably going to go to the pen sooner than later. I mean, he'll be in the pen, I bet, next rotation. And I bet Petit starts unless they make another deal somewhere. And they could make another deal, or they could bring up Chris Heston from Hestie's an East Carolina boy, and he just threw a complete game last week, and he's been in AAA, I want to say, for 2 or 3 years, so he's used to throwing, you know, 150 to 180 innings, and Hestie may be the guy they bring up next.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm not sending Tim Hudson to the bullpen for anybody.
Oh, no, Timmy Hudson is their number two guy, no question.
I'm starting Tim Hudson. He's pitching every 5 days. He's one of my guys. I'm gonna pitch Peavy every 5 days. I'm gonna pitch Bumgarner every 5 days. And if I get down to it, you know, I'm going to go down to, I'm probably going to drop to a four-man rotation if I have to in the last, you know, in the last.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Did you see what Boach did with Timmy Hudson the other night? He got him out of there after 92 pitches because it was all stressful pitching, and he had been through, but he knew he was going to bring him back on regular or one game in front, so he got him out of there. And let me ask you this, Mike, because you're an expert at pitching for sure. I mean, you know, being a former National League and American League pitcher, does anybody handle their pen better than Bochy?
He's one of the best, and I watched Bochy when he was in San Diego, and I like how he handled his pen. You know, I've seen him do things where, you know, it's just not a right-left thing. I saw him one day when he was managing San Diego. He brought a sinker baller in behind a hard throwing over the top right-hander because he needed a ground ball. You know, he didn't need it. If he had a fly ball, he was going to lose. And the hitter was Jose Guillen for the Nats, and he would have taken that hard throwing over the top right-hander. He would have probably hit a grand banana off him. But he brought in the side slinger, Clay Meredith.
And oh, I love Clay. He's from VCU.
Yeah, Meredith throws a double play ball.
Hey,
you know, I said, that's a brilliant move right there.
Did Clay make the All-Star game that year that he had that phenomenal year in San Diego? I can't remember if he made the All-Star game or not.
No, he didn't make the All-Star game team, but he still has the San Diego Padres record for consecutive scoreless innings.
You know, that kid was unbelievable. He threw from, he was almost a, he was a side armor. We know when you remember, well, you probably coached him when you were with the Arlington Senators.
Yeah, in the Clark Griffith League, Clay pitched for me for two seasons.
Do you remember when he would warm up in front of the mound? I thought that was insanely smart. He wouldn't warm up on the bump. He warmed up in front of the mound, and then he would go throw two or three pitches at the end of his warm up on the mound. I've never seen anybody else do that. Have you?
Well, it does save some stress on you because, you know, it's obviously more stress on your arm to throw elevated from 60 feet, 6 inches than it is to throw from like 50 feet in front of the mound.
Absolutely. Hey, Mike, you want to pick some games real quick? We got about 4 minutes.
Sure.
All right, because I love doing this with you. You got Chris Sale in New York. I figure Sale shuts the Yankees down. What do you think?
That's all right. I'm going with you on that one.
Yeah, Houston and Cleveland, I don't even care because it's Oberholzer and Bauer, and we don't care. But Cleveland's on a roll. They'll probably win. Tampa Bay, Archer's back out there. He's having a hell of a end of the year. He's against Hutchinson, who's kind of blown up lately. I'm going to take Archer here.
I think I'm going to stay off that. I saw, you know, and I know that Hutchinson's got it, you know, like a 4.8, and he's 8-11, but I've seen him, and it wasn't that long ago, I saw him throw a pearl.
Yeah, he threw him almost through a perfect game.
Yeah, he scares me a little, so I really don't want to touch that.
Yeah, you know who's finishing as strong as anybody is Iwakuma from Seattle. He's the real deal. He's one of the top five guys, definitely one of the top three or four right-handers in baseball now. I'm taking him in Fenway.
Well, I don't know much about Webster, but I will say this. Iwakuma has pitched well all season.
Yep.
In fact, he and the reason they're competitive is, you know, you throw him in with King Felix and Chris Young.
Yeah.
Has had a great year. And I can't figure out what if Young hurt himself yesterday or what, because
Did he come out early?
Yeah, he came out early, and I think he was winning. So, because, you know, Young has always been, you know, injury prone.
He's tough. He's a guy that's from the D.C. Baltimore area, too.
I think he married a Madison girl.
Yeah, he did. And you know what else he did? He played for that team over there in Maryland that's they got in all that trouble because they were ripping each other off, the owners. A lot of people know who I'm talking about. Anyway, Vargas is pitching against someone. Texas doesn't even have a starter here. I'm taking Vargas in Kansas City.
Yeah, Kansas City is just smoking.
Yeah, and then you got Weaver. with the Angels at Kazmir. That's going to be a hell of a game to watch right there.
Yeah, I'm not touching that one.
I'm not either.
That's two pretty good guys locked up.
Hey, what do you know about Simone? Simone has had a great season for Cincinnati, but, you know, the guy's facing some pretty bad felony charges back home. But you know what? Maybe he's pitching so well he wants to make sure he doesn't have to go home. I'm going to take Cincinnati today against Harang from Atlanta.
I'll do that because I just want Atlanta. We need a win.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And we need to break their streak. St. Louis, Masterson, I don't see it. Philly has hung tough, but this kid, Williams, I don't know if he's the deal, but he's pitched well. He's 1-1 up. He's 1-0 with a 2.19 ERA. I'm going to pass on a game.
Yeah, I don't like either one of those guys.
And you know what? You know I can't pick the next game because they're my two favorite teams. Who's going to win this game, Washington or San Francisco today? Strasburg going to have another one, or is he going to take a game off?
I'm going to say that Strasburg is going to do something special today.
You know what? You would know. I hope he does because I'm going to be right there on a bucket next to third base coaching box.
Well, he pitches very well at home, and although I like their lineup, I think San Francisco still has a lot of pop. But I think they're going to miss Brandon Belt.
They already miss him. You know, he had 11 home runs and 180 at bats.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. You
it's
know,
killing him.
If you take Brandon Belt out, you know, and Sandoval can still hurt you, and Posey can certainly hurt you.
Yeah, but you know, I tell you what, I'm going to have you on. I want to have you on in a couple of weeks when we get real close, Mike. Mike, thanks for coming on. We got to go. But that's Mike Wallace, Nats Talk, Masson Sports, 10 to noon every Saturday. And I'm telling you, if you don't watch that, you're missing out. Mike, thanks a lot, buddy.
Thanks,
Bruce. I'll see you at the ballpark today.
All right.
We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
And we're back, and we're going to break down some stuff that you guys have all probably been waiting for, that being some NFL talk, a little bit of some foosball. It was National Draft Day, as we talked about a little bit earlier. We mentioned it. That is the National Draft Day down in Vegas. It's through Yahoo Sports, I believe. They hold a big convention every year.
Yeah, that's who we did our station one.
That's who we do. We use the Yahoo. Which I am the defending champion, but I don't mean to bring that up every show.
Yeah,
but I will.
And it's not like there was anybody any good in it, because the computer picked my stuff, the computer picked Matt's stuff. That is funny.
Screw him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the way I look at it. Hey, listen, by the way, there is some big talk. I almost had Mike Jones on. Mike Jones or J.R. Reed. I'm going to get some, because listen, RG3 is a big name. But he may not start this year if he keeps playing like he's playing.
He looked awful.
Exactly. And Joe Theismann has inserted himself into the limelight, which Joe Theismann loves to do. You know, I'm not a big Joe Theismann fan off the field, but on the field, he was a pretty damn good football player, and he knows what a pretty damn good quarterback looks like, and so does Sonny Jurgensen. And you should have heard Sonny the other night on the radio. It's like Chris Cooley would go, "Sonny, you didn't like that pass much, did you?" "No, I didn't." I mean, that was, you know, he was being real. And Cooley is phenomenal, by the way. I love his show. I hate to tout another station, but, and it's Dan Snyder's station, so I really hate to tout it. But 980, they call it the drive from 4 to 6 or 4 to 7, is Chris Cooley and Al Galdi and Steve Zabin. And that is the best show, I think, all day long. And I love, don't get me wrong, I like Grant Paulson from 10 to 2, mm-hmm, in the morning, but he's got Danny Ruey on, so half the time somebody's talking doesn't know what he's talking about, and the other half, I'm just kidding, Danny.
Now he's listening to the show,
skits
just
and
crying.
Bits, skits and bits.
He's not listening anyway. You know, he cut me off one time I called in. I was pretty upset about that. telling them a story.
How
dare
he?
They asked me to call in with a story. I call him with a story, and halfway through the story, 30 seconds, he goes, "Thank you, Bruce. I didn't know about that." And then I go to dead air, and I'm going, "Oh, I'm going to have you on my show sometime and have Matt cut you off." This is Bruce Hall. You're listening.
It'll probably happen that way naturally.
You're listening to Second Opinion. I'm here with Roy. Roy is going to. Is going to stay here. I've got to leave at the end of this segment.
You're stuck with me.
Yeah, but you're stuck with him. But if Tony Major doesn't come on and talk about his meeting with Jose Canseco, mm-hmm. I bet Tony's doing steroids already.
Jose is making the rounds.
Well, Jose is making the rounds, and he should be making the rounds.
He was on this station last weekend.
Yes, he was.
Yes, he was.
But, you know, today there's two games. San Diego plays in the new park at San Francisco. And, by the way, that's a beautiful park. But Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos went in there and beat the crap out of the San Francisco 49ers. For those of you that play over-unders and futures in Vegas, I don't care what San Francisco's over-under is now. If it's 10, 10.5, 11, take the under. I think Arizona and Seattle are just going to beat the crap out of them this year. I just do. I think San Francisco's got some guys like Aldon Smith that aren't even going to be able to play this year. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I mean, you can't make drastic changes to a roster in a week or two. And that's how much time they have before the season starts. Let's look at these scores over the week. Pittsburgh lost to Philadelphia. Philadelphia actually played a little defense against the Steelers. There's some really good stuff I was listening to yesterday about the Steelers and about if they don't do it this year, are they going to get rid of Tomlin? Well, they might, you know, but Pittsburgh doesn't generally get rid of guys like that.
There was a lot of rumors with Tomlin circulating some college football openings this past offseason.
Well, he likes college football. And mm-hmm. let me tell you, there are some real advantages to being in the pros, and there's some real advantages to being in college. I can see Tomlin going back to college ball.
A lot of rumors were circulating when the Penn State job opened up before Franklin took it.
Yeah.
A lot of people were pointing towards
Tomlin
as a possible guy.
I could have seen that. You know, the Giants beat the Jets, but in a real game, I'm pretty sure the Jets will beat the Giants this year. Oakland lost to Green Bay. Green Bay looked good. Offensively, they looked real good. Defensively, they're banged up. Seattle crushed your Chicago Bears. And look, I like Chicago because guess who I got? I got Matt Forte as my top back.
You
got to
have.
I need him to score more than 6 points a game. Tampa Bay beat Buffalo. I can't believe Tampa Bay. Buffalo must suck. They must be terrible right now.
They're
in their second year of a new coach, right? Mm-hmm. Dallas lost to Miami. Dallas is 0-3. They may not win too many games this year. If Tony Romo goes down, they're not going to win any
games.
They're
going to have trouble, yeah.
Yep. Baltimore beat Washington. We saw that. Yep. Both Baltimore. That was last night in Baltimore. Yep. And listen, if you went to the Washington-San Francisco baseball game and you had tickets at 8 to go to Baltimore, you got messed over because there was an hour and a half rain delay. Mm-hmm. So you would have had to leave the Nats game early to get to Baltimore. That was a good game to watch if you're a Baltimore fan because they looked a lot better than Washington.
Well, I was in Baltimore. And both
for a party. Did you watch it on TV?
I did. That's what I was doing the entire time. I was just glued to the TV. I was a great guest.
Hey, St. Louis, Sam Bradford might be out for the year. He re-injured his knee. Yeah, did you get some news on it?
They're saying that it may not be as. There still hasn't. No MRI information has come back yet, but they're saying that it might not be as bad as people initially thought.
Yeah, they only beat Cleveland 33-14. So whoever his backup is did a pretty good job. New Orleans beat Indianapolis. That was a good game. You know what? The New Orleans defense looked really good. I mean, they looked really good. You know, with the starters in there with Andrew Luck. You know what? He had a lot of success doing running. Every time he ran, I bet he got 20.
He's an athletic quarterback.
Well, he's also a quarterback. Nobody wants to hit him in the legs because he'll run over you. Minnesota beat Kansas City. Remember what we talked about with the Kansas City Chiefs? Remember how they were my team last year? How
this year you're staying.
That
away
was
from
the
them,
lock
right?
of my life. Over 7.5 games, they won their first 9 games. Mm-hmm. Locked that up, 1-11.
You didn't even need to go into the NFL season before that guy started paying you back.
No, absolutely. Well, Carroll's taking my taking my paperwork to Vegas this weekend to collect. Minnesota
by RV camper.
You know who's going to be good? Minnesota is going to be good. Minnesota will be good.
You think so?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you like that boy from
Louisville. I like the over with Minnesota. If you can find Minnesota 7, 7.5, 8, mm-hmm. I'd take them.
You like Teddy Bridgewater?
I do. I like him a lot better than anybody else out there that's a rookie quarterback. Houston's at Denver. Well, except for Blake Bortles. Blake Bortles has looked great in Jacksonville.
I haven't seen him play at all.
Can I tell you what? They're going to start, you know, the guy from Michigan who's done a good job.
Benny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Bortles is their long-term guy.
Good.
And Bortles is fine with not starting. And you know what? That guy has completely turned around that team. Mm-hmm. That team, take the over. It could be, I'm guessing it's 5.5, 6, probably. Can you pull up Bovada?
Yeah, I'll try.
Pull up Bovada. We haven't done that in a while.
Must be like 3, right?
What's that? It's probably 5.5, 6. Listen, I'll give you the, hey, look, here you go. Buffalo, I'm going to say 6. Miami, I'm going to say 7. New England, I'm going to say 11.5 or 12. The Jets, I'm going to say 9. The Ravens, I'm going to say 8.5. Cincinnati, I'm going to say 9.5. Cleveland, I'm going to say 5.5. Steelers, I'm going to say 8.5. The Texans, I'm going to say 8. Indianapolis, I'm going to say 11. Jaguars, I'm going to say 5.5, 6. Tennessee Titans, I'm going to say 6. Denver, I'm going to say 12. Kansas City, I'm going to say 8. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take the under this year with Kansas City. They might even be 7.5. The Raiders, oh, God. I'm going to say 5. In San Diego, I'm going to say 9. Dallas Cowboys, I'm going to say 7. New York Giants, I'm going to say 7.5. Eagles, I'm going to say 10.5. Redskins, I'm going to say 8. I'm going to say 7.5. Chicago, I'm going to say 9.5. Detroit Lions, I'm going to say 8. Green Bay, I'm going to say 11. Or 10.5.
Even with BJ Raji?
Oh, yeah. Well, Raji went down. That just means he won't be able to do those commercials so
he'll
much.
Have more time to do those commercials. Yeah, he'll have to do it one-handed.
But he can't dance. Minnesota. You know, I'm going to say Minnesota is probably 7.5. I'm going to say Atlanta. This is a tough one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say Atlanta 7. I'm close, aren't I? Am I close? Carolina. I don't like Carolina this year. I'm going to say 8.5. The Saints, I'm going to say 10.5. 10. I'm going to say Tampa Bay, 5.5. I'm going to say the Cardinals, 10. I'm going to say the Rams, 8. San Francisco, 10.5. In Seattle, I'm going to say 12.
So
now you tell me the real ones.
I'm not
I have to ask you, who's your absolute worst in the league this year?
Worst team in the league?
Oakland and I think Tampa so far.
If you had to take one. Well, hold on. I'm going to say.
Who's getting the first round draft pick next year?
Oakland. Yeah. Could be Dallas. I'm going to say Oakland because I think that Jacksonville is going to surprise everybody and win 6 or 7 games this year. You know, it could be the Browns. The Browns, all they have is a defense. They don't have an offense.
And they always do play for the
They're
always
horrible.
Playing for the first round.
You know what?
Pick.
Let's take Johnny Manziel in Cleveland as the worst team
you
in the league.
You think so?
Yeah. They have a good defense, though. And they have a good running back, but they don't have a quarterback. How do you win without a quarterback? And by the way, Buffalo's not going to be very good either. But they have a decent defense. You want me to read that, Matt? Mm-hmm. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're going to be listening to Roy and Matt on the last segment, and Roy's going to tell you exactly how to get your fantasy league pick and win.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
So if you're anything like me right about now, you're wondering and waiting for about, 3 o'clock, 3:30, maybe even 4 o'clock, and you're wondering, what am I going to be eating? What am I going to be drinking? What all, thanks, nice drop-off there, Matt, in the box. Just dead air. That's all that was. We went from music to dead air. No fade.
It was fade.
No fading.
There was a fade.
That's your new DJ nickname. No fade, Matt. So you're wondering
what this was 1994.
That's right. You're wondering what's going in the deep fryer. If you're me, it's going to be jalapeno poppers. It's going to be the Oreos. It's going to be chickens. Some chickas. It's going to be donuts. I'll probably deep fry some donuts, Bruce, as he munches his donut on the way out.
Last year's copy of Madden NFL.
Absolutely. By the way, if anyone wants a PS3 unopened Blu-ray, I don't have PS3, and they gave it to me for some reason. So, but it's food. That's the biggest part of today, other than the draft. I mean, the draft and the players of your fantasy team, the building of your fantasy team is awesome. But if I could just draft teams, if I could just go to draft parties every weekend, I think that might be more fun for me than actually playing fantasy football.
That could be your version of, you know, the housewives that sell candles. You could have draft parties.
Absolutely, because that makes complete sense. Absolutely. I will, instead of me selling candles,
$1 million idea there.
I will, I'll just throw draft parties every week. But I love it. And like I said, I've mentioned it. This is the third time I've mentioned it now. Yesterday was National Draft Day for fantasy football leagues. It was there's a convention in Vegas, and I don't know, Yahoo was giving away some sort of something or another. But basically it was a bunch of drafts, and they all drafted live, either via the internet or in Las Vegas, and they threw this huge party. Mine is today. The official pull of the draft order is at 6:30. We'll draft at 7, but it's an all-day event. If you guys are like me and you don't do that, I hate online drafts. And I know that our station draft is an online draft, but I don't like those. Those are my other leagues. Those are the teams that I pay attention to, kinda, because they don't really mean much. But a real money league, if you guys are in money leagues or you're in serious leagues with just straight bragging rights with your boys or girls, if you have women in your league, which my wife's in one of my leagues, so I can't talk too much. So. But if that's what a draft is all about, live draft, it's about what you're deep frying, or maybe you're not deep frying, but it's about what you're cooking, it's about what you're drinking, because you don't show up with just some natural light, all right? You don't show up with some crap beer. That's rule number...
Don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy. So rule number one, get something really good to eat today. Really good. And if it takes you smoking the meat all day or deep frying it all day, good, okay? The more great food you have at a draft party, the better. Number two is you don't show up with some crap beer. If you're that guy, you just leave. All right? Just leave if you're that guy. I believe we have a call.
No, not yet.
That's almost. Not a call right there? Answer?
Ah, there we go.
Yeah, it's a call. All right. Listen to me doing over here teaching Matt how to do his job. So number two is you drink and you bring good beer, okay? If you don't drink beer, then grab something good, okay?
Maybe rule number four is don't be from Cleveland.
Don't be from Cleveland like my man Tony Mazur. Tony Mazur, is that you?
I'm not from Cleveland. I'm in Canton right now.
All right, there it is. So we're good. So here are my big things, Tony, for my draft day, all right? Number one, I need really good food, all right? I deep fry everything on draft day. Rule number two, you got to have good beer, okay? I'm not drinking some crap light beer. I'm drinking the good stuff. All right, $10.99 a six pack. All right, my pockets are deep today.
Oktoberfest.
All right, that's rule number two. And rule number three is no computers. It has to be a live draft. So tell me, Tony. First, on National Draft Day weekend, are you drafting today, or did you draft yesterday?
Actually, I'm not drafting at all. It's interesting because I used to do fantasy football, kind of when it like just started, and I'm like, really kicked off, and it became very national.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped because I was looking at teams like when it was before I was in the media, and I was looking at my team differently. So the Browns would be playing the Steelers, and I'd be going, "Yeah, well, I like the Browns, but Yancey Thigpen is on my fantasy team, and I got to root for him to get 200 yards today, being thrown from Neil O'Donnell." And I'm like, oh, geez, what am I doing to myself? So I've been a keen observer of fantasy football. But what you mentioned there would be good for any day. It doesn't have to be just fantasy football.
That's true. That is true. Any good weekend starts with a deep fryer and ends with great beer. Absolutely. Great call there, Tony. So
yeah, just don't if you're going to deep fry the turkey, just make sure you do it outside.
Yes.
Not the garage.
Lots of explosions could happen deep frying a turkey.
Or if you're going to do it inside, at least videotape it for YouTube.
Yes, make it on YouTube. No fire challenges or anything like that.
The deep fryer challenge, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you don't play fantasy football. So let me get this straight, just so I understand. So you got in, so you played fantasy football before it was cool, and now that it's popular, you're out.
I'm a hipster.
You're
yeah,
the hipster
I'm
of fantasy football.
It's ever since they started doing the live stats. See, if you're an old head, you remember when you had to pay for the stats. Now it feels like cheating.
I've been playing fantasy football since 1998. All right. So the league that I was originally in, it was with my dad's league, and you had to call the commissioner and leave a message on his voicemail of who you wanted to start, and then whoever the commissioner was that year had to go with a paper the next day, and there was no like half points or like decimals or anything like that. It was whole points, and you got like 1 point for a touchdown kind of thing.
Yeah, this decimal thing recently is messed up.
I love all of it. So, Tony.
That's where you have the girls that do the fantasy football, too. They're the same kind of girls who, for some reason, pick the – and no offense to the ladies out there, but – if you're not watching as often as we are and you pick a in your bracket in the NCAA tournament and you win because you like Kentucky's blue and white and blue and red, it's the same thing. And it's like you find out, it's like, who won? Jessica won? Huh? What? I'm a huge football fan. I watch every game. I DVR. And she won? And it's like, oh, God, yeah, because I remember the days of calling the commissioner. That was an ordeal in and of itself.
That was fantasy football before it was cool. Calling the commissioner and leaving a voicemail. Yeah, I remember the first ever quarterback running back combo that I had was Natron Means and Mark Brunell back in the Jaguars back in the day. So Tone,
oh wow!
As we get into the fantasy football season, and as we get into this, and you were my go-to guy last year. All right, I drafted Jordan Cameron and hit you up immediately in that DM on the Twit box. And I said, how's my boy Jay Cameron? Am I in good shape here? So give me another boy. Is Johnny Football, is he worth drafting this year in fantasy football?
No. No, he's not.
I wish Bruce was still here.
I don't know if you watched any of the game on like NFL Network.
Mm-hmm.
It was... they had Brian Hoyer out there in the game. They already announced that Brian Hoyer should be the starter of the Browns. Hoyer was undrafted out of Michigan State. Johnny Manziel is your first-round quarterback. You pick 22nd overall. And yet, Hoyer, against a second- and third-team St. Louis Rams defense, can't move the ball down the field. And I'm like, wow, we're up for another 5-11 season, it's looking like, here in Cleveland. So... no, I would not pick Johnny Manziel because he may not even get an opportunity unless Hoyer stinks so bad.
Yeah, I expect to see football at some point this season. And by football, I mean Mr. Johnny Clipboard, I guess is what his name is now. I expect to see him at some point in the season, but I would not. I'm with you, man. I wouldn't draft him. Bruce drafted him in like the 7th round or something like that in our league. Like he's an idiot, but but that's okay. But I love Jay Cam again this year for the Browns. I love him as a tight end. A lot of people are hyping up the Jimmy Graham, taking him in the first round. I did do that in our radio station league just to see how my team would fall out because I got my big draft today. And I believe me, don't do it out there. If you're thinking about taking Mr. Jimmy Graham in your first round, think twice out there. So Jordan Cameron, how's he looked this preseason? And do you expect him to have the same type of year he had last year?
You know, in the preseason, no one for the Browns has looked good. They have Josh Gordon right now, which, I mean, that's just an ordeal anyway. Mm-hmm. None of the receivers are catching any passes. Not that the ball's actually getting to them. They're not catching anything. So Jordan Cameron last year had a nice little rapport with Ryan Hoyer. So maybe it can continue this year, but the problem is we have a receiving core who can't catch. Everybody knows, doesn't matter, it doesn't have to be just in the red zone. Cameron's going to be the number 1, 2, and 3 option. It's going to happen.
That's good for me. That's good for me out there.
Yeah, that's true.
That's me. That's my boy. I'm going for him again. I took Jimmy Graham into the league in the first round. I was that guy. I had the 9th overall pick, and my receivers and running backs look like crap. So do not take a tight end in the first round. Just don't do it. All right.
No offense, but when I'm picking my defense every week, I'm probably going to be looking at who's playing Cleveland just because I know there's going to be a couple picks.
Yeah, there's always that defense.
No, seriously, the defense is not bad for the Browns,
it's
but they're
going to
be on the field so long because the offense is so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And the offense last night, and I know it's the preseason, but this is preseason game number 3. They still have yet to throw a deep ball. So, yeah, if you're a fantasy owner, put your defense against the Browns any day. That's just my advice through the rest of the season here. unless there are some drastic changes, unless they put Manziel in there and he's just doing things by himself, other than that, no. Yeah, I just start against the Browns all the time.
So Tone, I'm clicking through these fantasy football scout machines that I subscribe to, and I'm one of these fantasy football nerds. I'm a geek, right? I actually do web developing and stuff like that on the side. So I'm a nerd. I'm a complete nerd. I love numbers and seeing all this stuff. And one of the biggest things that has surprised me this year is that a guy named Drew Brees is the projected top quarterback this year in CBS leagues, ESPN leagues, Yahoo leagues. I mean, he's across the board supposedly the favorite this year as fantasy quarterbacks, above a guy named Peyton Manning, who a lot of people are taking in the first round. So if you have first pick at a quarterback off the board, who's it going to be and why?
I'm going to pick the first quarterback off the board here. I'm still going to go with Aaron Rodgers. I look at that team. They have Jordy Nelson's locked up. You know, a lot of these guys are locked up. That team is just – I don't know if they can get it done in the playoffs, but if you're going for fantasy and racking up the stats and going with Rodgers first.
I like Rodgers. It's hard not to like Rodgers. And he is, a lot of people don't know this, he's one of the more mobile quarterbacks in the whole NFL. I mean, he was, the year that Vic was on the Eagles and ran all over the place and he led the league in rushing, Mr. Aaron Rodgers was second in the league with rushing. So the dude has feet and he can run around and he'll get you some points on the ground as well. So I guess the only question left here on fantasy football weekend, I guess you could call it, is if you have the number one overall pick in the league, Mr. Tone, who are you taking?
I'm going Shady McCoy.
Okay.
I go McCoy because that offense and what Chip Kelly is able to do with that Eagles offense, and you see with Nick Foles, and Nick Foles woke that team up. Forget Michael Vick, forget Vince Young, forget Kevin Cobb and all these other guys they just trotted out there. Chip Kelly put that team together well in one season. Nick Foles looked pretty good, and when you have McCoy, not only a running back, but and it's not even a check down offense.
Yeah,
Foles just rolls out. McCoy puts a block or two coming out of the backfield, and all of a sudden he is open. Foles just has to throw it over a couple of linebackers.
Yep.
And McCoy has 15 easy yards.
Yep. Sorry to cut you off there, Tom, but we are out of time. So there it is. You have the number one pick. Take Shady McCoy. Don't draft a tight end in the first, and wait to take a quarterback. That's your fantasy advice. And this has been Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. See you next week.